In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're going to do the fifth chapter of the first epistle of St. John today, but I want to just go over it a little. That in the first chapter says, "That which was from the beginning, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked upon, and our hands have handled." That which is, that's Jesus. From the beginning, he was with the Father as the Word of God. But now we can see him. They saw him. They could touch him. And they could listen to him. Why? Because he's not a ghost. He's the risen Savior. He ate with them. And he is their Savior. And that Jesus is the light. We're asked to walk in the light, as he is the light, and we have fellowship with one another. And why do we have fellowship with one another? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. That sin can be forgiven. There is only one sin that cannot be forgiven, and that is the sin unto death, which means you just will not repent. You just will not repent. Even Hitler could have been forgiven if he repented and gave his life to Jesus. The Word of God tells us that if we confess our sins, he is very ready to forgive our sins. And our sins are like red scarlet, but they become white as snow, the newborn snow. You know, snow that hits the earth on the first day and no cars are running. That's the snow he's talking about, that pure white snow. No. It talks about Jesus as the propitiation for our sins, that Jesus is the sacrifice for our sins, but not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. That's the Jesus, that he is the sacrifice for our sins, but not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. And there is a new commandment that the Lord gives us. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. Again, the new commandment I write unto you is the thing that is true both in him and in you, because darkness has passed away and the true light, Jesus, is shining. And the true new commandment is that we love our neighbor as Jesus has loved us. That's the new commandment. Then I'm thinking of greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is Jesus through the Holy Spirit that is in you than he that is in the world. That's real. That's absolutely real. And what conquers the world? Even our faith. Our faith in Jesus conquers the world. Living faith. I'm looking at 1 John 4:18. Fear is not of charity. Fear is not of love. Let me tell you, God is not into making you afraid. Fear is not of charity, but perfect love casts out fear. Amen. And I'm telling you, the perfect love of Jesus casts out fear. But you know what? When we are in fear, fear casts out the perfect love of Jesus. See, today there is no reason for you to be afraid, because he has conquered the world and has conquered your sin and my sin. And he is the expiation for our sin. He is the sacrifice that the Father sent to redeem us, to buy us back. Yes, we no longer are of sin, but we are of grace. Fear has to do with pain. And he that fears is not perfected in love. You're not supposed to fear. I'm not supposed to fear. We're supposed to rely upon Jesus, rely upon his finished work, Rely upon his blood. Rely upon his love for us. Let us therefore love God, because God first loved us. That's real. I didn't decide to follow Jesus. Jesus touched me, changed me. Love started with him. Let us therefore love God, because God first loved us. God first loved you, and that's the reason why you came to love Jesus. God loved us first, and we are to love God back. If any man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. I don't have to even talk about that. If you say you love God, and you hate your brother, your sister, your friend, I'm telling you, you're a liar. For he that loves not his brother, whom he sees, how can he love God, whom he doesn't see? It all makes sense. If we cannot love each other, whom we see, how can we love God, whom we don't see? In other words, we are bound to love people. As I said, Catholics need to love Protestants, and Protestants need to love Catholics, because how can we love God if we hate each other? I tell you, I've been very blessed by Protestant people. I've been very blessed by people that are not Catholic. Catherine Kuhlman blessed my life for years upon end, and I'm so grateful for her. But not only her, I just have other Protestant friends. There was Sister Ruth, God bless Sister Ruth, and Sister Gwen, God bless Sister Gwen. And I could go on and on and on that these people have taught me how to love those people that are not in our fold, but they are in the fold of Jesus as we are. So you see, perfect love casts out all fear. Are you afraid today? Then give it up. You say, but I don't know how to give it up. Give it up. Just say, Lord, I don't want to be afraid today. I want to be filled with love today. Perfect love casts out all fear. Chapter 5, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Messiah, is born of God. It's as simple as that. If you believe that Jesus, who came in the flesh, is the Messiah, you have been born of God. And everyone that loves Jesus, who begot, loved him who was born of him. Everyone who loves him who begot, that's the Father, loves him, Jesus, who also is born of the Father. If you love Jesus, you've got to love the Father. If you love the Father, you've got to love the Son. It's as simple as that. You cannot love Jesus and not love the Father. You cannot love the Father without loving Jesus. He is the eternal begotten Son of God. In this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Yes, keeping the commandments of God, especially that we love one another, especially that we love as he loved us. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not heavy. His commandments are not hard to keep. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory which overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the world has evangelized so many people in the church. The world has evangelized so many people in the church, but this is what overcomes the world. He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, even our faith. I'll read it again. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. If we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, we are born of God. And this is the victory which overcomes the world, our faith. Our faith. Catherine used to say, Catherine Kuhlman, my faith is intact. If you believe, and everything will come out all right. If you believe in the Lord and you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, everything will come out all right. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. Our faith. This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not water alone, but water and blood, and it is the Spirit which testifies that Christ is the truth. When he was crucified, water and blood flowed from his wounded side, and the Spirit testifies that Jesus Christ is the truth. And there are three who give witness in heaven: the water, the blood, and the Spirit. Or we want to say it in another way: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that give testimony on earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, we must receive the testimony of God, who is far greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater than the testimony of men, because he hath testified of his Son. You see, in the Jordan River, God says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." On the Mount of Transfiguration, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Listen to him. To love the Father and not love the Son, you can't do it, because the Father gave the Son as an expiation for our sins. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, because he hath testified of his Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God has testified of his beloved Son. He that believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. See, it's all about Jesus. He that believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. He that believes not the Son makes God the Father a liar, because he believeth not in the testimony which God hath testified of his Son. Yes, he's testified of his Son and sent him as an expiation for our sins, as a sacrifice for our sins. And this is the testimony that God has given to us: eternal life. And this eternal life is in the Son. Oh, yeah. Eternal life starts at baptism and through faith. When I give my life to Jesus and say, "Lord Jesus, I ratify my baptism. I just give you my life. I surrender to you." And this is the testimony that God hath given us. It's eternal life. And this eternal life is in the Son. "He that believes in me," Jesus says, "has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. He that hath the Son has life. He that has not the Son does not have life. These things I write to you, that you may know that you have eternal life, you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Anyone who comes to me I shall not reject. He who believes in me has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And this is the confidence which we have towards him, that whatsoever we shall ask according to his will, he hears us." Amen. That whatever we ask according to the will of God, he hears us. And we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions which we request of him. "He that knows his brother to sin a sin which is not of death," and that's the sin that does not accept final forgiveness, "let him ask, life shall be given to him, and sinneth not to death," if he sins not to death. There is a sin unto death, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whoever is born of God sinneth not, walks not in sin. We all fall short. We all sin, but walks in sin. But the generation of God preserves him, and the wicked one does not touch him. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We know that we are of God, and the whole world is of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding, that we may know the true God, and may be in his true Son. This is the true God and life eternal. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen." keep yourself from idols. Amen. We believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We believe that this eternal life is in the Son. And if we believe in the Son, we must believe in the Father. If we love the Son, we must love the Father who begot him eternally. Jesus Christ became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Jesus Christ became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and he was brought forth in Bethlehem. He was crucified on the cross, and as a result of his crucifixion, blood and water showed forth from his wounded side. And I tell you, this blood and water give witness to the death of Jesus, as he is the expiation for our sins. Jesus Christ is the expiation for our sins, but not only for our sins, but for the sins of the world. John 3, and there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. Why does Tricky Nicky come by night? Because he does not want people to know that he's coming to see Jesus. Oh yes, he is a ruler of the Jews. And he comes to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no man can do the signs which you do unless God is with him. So Tricky Nicky at least knows that Jesus is of God. Jesus answered and said to him, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is reality, being born again through baptism and faith. Born again through baptism and faith. We call the born-again experience second conversion as Catholics. I don't care what you call it, you better have it, that you've been born again because you believe in the Son, because the Holy Spirit resides in you, because your faith conquers the world, because the Spirit that is in you is greater than the Spirit that's in the world. Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus answered, Amen, amen, I say to you, wherever we see these double amens, it's stop, look, and listen. Unless a man be born again of water and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of God. I was born again as a baby, great grace as a baby, but I at 20 accepted Jesus and gave him my life. You see, baptism is not a day. Baptism is the life of the believer. And we must know that we must give our lives to Jesus. We must know that we must love Jesus. We must know that if we love Jesus, we have to love the Father who begot him from all eternity. Jesus answered, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a man be born again of water and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Wonder not that I said unto you that you must be born again. The Spirit breathes where he will, and you hear his voice, but you know not whence he comes and where he goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to Jesus, how can these things be done? Jesus answered and said to him, you are a master in Israel, and you do not know these things. These are basic things. These are the ABCs of the spiritual life, being born again. Amen, amen, I say to you, that we speak what we know, and we testify what we have seen, and you receive not our testimony. If I have spoken to you earthly things, you would believe not. How will you believe if I shall speak to you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Imagine, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, He's probably on the Mount of Olives. Nicodemus comes by night. But listen to what he says. And no man that ascended into heaven, but no man hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended from heaven, that's Jesus, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. He's saying that he's not only on earth, but he's in heaven. He's in heaven, not only on earth. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What does that mean? Oh, yes, in other words, that they were being bitten in the Old Testament by snakes, and Moses was told to make a pole and a snake on top of it, and make it, not a real snake, but a snake that was made by a sculptor. And they had to look at the thing they were afraid of in order for them to be healed. But the Word of God says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Where? Upon the cross. Upon the cross. That whoever believes in the Son of Man may not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. This next line everyone knows. For God so loved the world. So I want to emphasize the word so. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in the Son may not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved by him. There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He that believes in him is not judged. Okay, he that believes in Jesus is not judged. He that does not believe is already judged, because he believed not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What's his name? Jesus. And this is the judgment, because the light has come into the world, and people have loved darkness rather than light, for their works were evil. The light has come into the world. Who is that? Jesus. The light has come into the world. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, but men have loved darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light and comes not to the light, that his works may not be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, and his works may be made manifest, because they are done in God. I'm telling you, if you have sin, run to the light. Run to the light. His name is Jesus. Go to confession. Confess your sins. Turn away from sin and believe the gospel, that those who believe in Jesus have eternal life. And that life is in the Father, and the Father is in the Son. I tell you, God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but he came into the world to save the world. God does not condemn you. You know, you say, I haven't been to church in 75 years. Well, it's time to give your life to Jesus. God does not condemn you. You have to not condemn yourself. Jesus says, the man who believes in me has eternal life. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we believe that you are the Lord. We believe that you gave your life for us. We believe that you rose from the dead. We believe that you are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe that you suffered on the cross for our sins, for you are the expiation for our sins. We believe that perfect love casts out fear, because God is love. God is love. Jesus is love. Oh, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. None whatsoever. No matter what you've done or how many times you've done it, the only sin that's not forgiven is the sin that doesn't repent. In other words, I'm just going to keep my sin. It's too bad for God to forgive. That's the sin that cannot be forgiven. But that person can be forgiven if he changes his mind, or if she changes her mind. She comes to the light, and she sees her sin, and he sees her sin, and he says, Lord, have mercy on me. I give you my life. Forgive my sins. That's why confession is so important. Confession is so important. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God the best way that I know how. Let me tell you this, that we need to pay December's bills. And you can help us pay December's bills by sending us a gift. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Let me tell you, God is love, and he loves you even unto death. He loves you even unto death, his death on the cross. Give yourself to Jesus today. Give yourself to Jesus today, because he will not reject you. No one who comes to me will I ever reject. And remember, this is what overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith that Jesus is the eternal Son of the Father. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.